When you need to know something, you trust someone who's been right on the money before. That's where we come in.
That's what we do.
But we just call it the winning edge to save time. You're listening to Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
I'm just wondering.
No, you're not wondering. You know. You knew what happened. And this week, it's supposed to be better. But I'll tell you what. The bullshit tweets from the insiders about who's playing and who's not playing isn't helping us, Ian. What is going on with the Browns? Are these all last-second decisions that are going on? Is there real conversation happening about who's going to play, who's not going to play, or do they already know?
I would say mostly, you know, sometimes on Sundays you really don't know. Like, there's a...
You got to do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Happy Halloween, although it really has been Halloween. Like, the only thing that's missing is Michael Myers kicking my front door in right now and chopping my head off with an axe. Let's do this thing. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Although I'm surprised there hasn't been a metal version of it. I'm sure there is. You know, it would make sense. The lyrics are good. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Dun, 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 dun. Sunday, bloody Sunday. There it is. U2 cover, metal version. Here we are. Halloween. I'd like to play the Halloween theme music, but it seems like our bosses are very fearful of lawsuits and copyright infringement and stuff like that. So we can't. But I would. I would if I could. And right now they're feeling it in Atlanta. Like, wow. I know the pain. I know what it's like being in like a stadium or an arena and a building when your team potentially can win the championship and you think they are and then they don't. Like it's pretty jarring. Like, I remember when I went to the Toronto Raptors, I was there for game 5. And I was like, the Raptors are going to win the title. I'm going to be in the building. It's going to be awesome. There was literally a minute and a half left, and the Raptors were up by 6. And I'll never forget, because I went to, like, I made sure whenever the last alcohol sale, like, was, like, type thing. But I was very adamant about it. Right? Like, I think I tipped the dude, like, $20 or something. Like, told him, I said, listen, don't screw me around at last call. Because I said they're going to win the title. And I want to have a bunch of drinks ready for, like, the celebration after. Right? I thought ahead once I was in the building for the Montreal Canadiens when they won the Stanley Cup. And I was, like, the only one in the building with booze during the celebration. Because I thought ahead and I stockpiled, like, 16 beers. They were warm by the end of it. But I literally had, like, 4 trays under my seat and stuff of beer while everyone was celebrating. Everybody was like, oh, where'd you get the beer? I was like, I stockpiled it during the game. I kept going and getting another tray, right? I just kept putting it underneath my seat. I never forget, though. I remember, like, getting a bunch of drinks, and there was, like, 5 or 6 minutes left in the game. I remember they sold booze a little later, it seemed, than they normally do. Because I don't know, it was the title or whatever. But I just remember thinking, oh, my God, this is about to happen. Then it didn't happen. And I remember after, I was convinced they were going to choke and blow it. It's the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's do this thing. Welcome to the party. It's a Sunday Bloody Sunday edition of the program, although we're calling it Statement Sunday because statements were made today in the National Football League. It was Separation Saturday on the College Football Gridiron on Saturday. Today it was Statement Sunday. The Dallas Cowboys made a statement this evening, and they're actually going to help your bank statements as well as the Dallas Cowboys remain perfect against the spread. Cooper who? Cooper what? Cooper who? What? Cooper Manning? The one Manning that, you know, isn't like a quarterback? No, Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush becomes the second Dallas Cowboy quarterback in history to throw for 300 yards in his first career start. Because, you know, of course, Roger Staubach must have done that. No. Tony Romo? No. Dak Prescott, no. No. Gary Hogaboom, 1984. Gary Hogaboom. And crazily enough, Gary Hogaboom actually is a Chippewa. And I just sort of hate myself, man. You know, we often talk about, like, who ruined your Sunday on Sunday nights. I'll tell you who ruined my Sunday. I ruined my Sunday. Brett screwed Brett, all right? Vince didn't screw Brett. Brett screwed Brett, as Vince said. Morency screwed Morency. The Joan Collins special. The Jenna Jameson happy hour. Whatever you want to call it, whatever. I got no one to blame but myself. I took the New Orleans Saints today before the game started. You know what? I'm taking the under in this game, and I'm going to take the Saints. I think the Saints can hang around in this, and they're underestimating the Saints. Jameis Winston gets hurt. Trevor Siemian comes into the football game. And being the professional sharp gambler that I am, I decide to cash out of my New Orleans Saints bet. And not only cash out, but turn around and flip it over and then double it up on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady has lost, I think, maybe 22 games in the last 20 years in this godforsaken league. I must have been on 22 of these games. Tom Brady hates me. Listen from the ashes. Take what you got. I bet against him. He throws 5 touchdowns. I bet on him. He throws 5 picks. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like us? Boop. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Yeah, the Bears are who we thought they were. They're terrible. Doesn't matter who the coach is, evidently. And for whatever reason, I took them in game today because I'm terrible. I got to tell you, I cannot be happier right now that it is officially November. I talked about it all month, and it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy, but there's a difference between negativity and reality. You're not paranoid if you're correct. You know what I mean? It's like one of those type of deals. And all that biorhythm and all that stuff is true. There's a reason why certain fighters only fight at a certain time of the year, but we're on every day, and we're not millionaire fighters like Bernard Hopkins who can say, I'm not fighting for these next 3 months because my biorhythms are down. I've never liked October. I've never liked the month of October in my life. And it's one of these deals where I just realized it now that I'm like, you know what? Nothing really bad happened besides me just losing a bunch of money today. But besides that, which that could happen at any time of the year, right? Besides that, like, I don't, you know. So I'm just glad November's gone. I'm on the West Coast. So technically, there's still a couple of hours left to go. Still a couple hours left to go. So, speaking of which, still a couple hours left to go. I don't want to be that guy and say baseball takes too long because I don't care. I like it and whatever. I watch a football game. We check in. Hell, I stepped out, got something to eat, came back, and the game's still going on. Yet here we are. We got a little live baseball. Jason B. Takafin joins us. General manager, 3-time champion. Vancouver Canadiens, the Toronto Blue Jays A-ball affiliate. And, of course, Alex Anthopoulos was the GM at the time of the Blue Jays. Now is the Braves general manager. We got some live baseball, although it's 2 strikes, 2 outs. Jason B. Takafin. How you doing, Jason?
Not only is Alex Anthopoulos the general manager, but the pitcher for the Astros right now, Kendall Graveman, was traded by Alexandropoulos to Oakland for Josh Donaldson. So there's a lot of touch points here, a lot.
All right, hold on. We got to reconnect. Jay, sounds like you're underwater or something. If you can, Matthias. That's untalkable. Normally it's like, all right, we'll hang in there. So we'll get Jason back on in a second here. We'll have our producers do it over again and get Jason on. I did hear Jason say Anthopoulos did trade. See, I have good ears, but we've got to get that corrected. So yeah, it's 9-5 right now. There's two strikes. Solera is up. Houston are about to win. And it really is amazing, like, what one game can do to a dugout and the faces and the body language and a series, the complexion of the series. Like, and it's over. And it's 9-5 official. It's over. So, like, last night, think about it. Last night in this series, man, you had 50,000 jackasses doing that stupid tomahawk chop. The Atlanta Braves were like, one thing I'll say about the Braves, too, during the playoffs, if you'll notice with the Brave players after games, they're very, like, reserved. Like, some of them don't even smile, you know what I mean? Like, the Dodgers, every game the Dodgers won, I think they drank champagne after, right? Like, the Braves have been very, very businesslike. And I even recall thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, man, these guys just won again, and they're not really showing a lot of emotion. They're just, they have their eyes on the prize after blowing the lead last year, 3-1 to the Dodgers. Eyes on the prize. Last night, you could see they let their guard down after the game. They got caught up in the emotion of the moment. The stadium was going crazy, and they got caught up in it, and they were all like, you could see like they were laughing and sort of dancing a bit after the game last night. And fine, I'm not calling them out for it, but the thing is, you guys never did that before. You guys were always, hey, no, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Keep playing. And I noticed that last night, and we said the last game of a series is always the hardest game to win. In every sport, it's that last game. Especially when you know, oh, man, the trophy's in the building, champagne is on ice, you want to win it at home. And I swear, I'd like to look into this. And you know what? I'll do it in the middle of the night, maybe tonight or tomorrow. I'm going to do it one of these nights, all right? Although it's kind of pointless now because the World Series is over anyways. But doesn't it feel like more often than not, teams don't win championships at home? Like, doesn't it feel like there's a pattern to this? So, look, last year the World Series was on a neutral field. What happened in the World Series the year before that? Was that the Nationals year? It was, right? I think the Nationals won on the road. Where did the Nationals win? I think they won. I don't recall them winning in Washington. I think they won on the road. NBA teams generally win on the road. Milwaukee won on the road in Phoenix. The Raptors won on the road in Golden State. The one in between was in the bubble. I'm just riffing off the top of my head here. The Tampa Bay Lightning did win the Stanley Cup on home ice. The Lightning did win. Because remember the mayor of Tampa? she said, oh, well, I hope the Canadians win a game at least. So, you know, we could win the Stanley Cup in Tampa. And we were hoping that she cursed them, but she didn't. Like, it just seemed like, that's just off the top of my head. I'd like, you know what I mean? Like, when I got time, you know, one of these nights, I'll just kick back and I'll look back at the last sort of five championships of each, like, sport. We, you know, eliminate the bubble pandemic ones, obviously, right? Like, that doesn't count. But I'm telling you, guys, think about it. And I see people in our chat. You guys are like, just think off the top of your heads, guys. There's something to it, man. The pressure of the home team, man. These guys are like normal people. I saw Swanson last night after the game. He was just like a normal dude, man. He's like, oh, I grew up in Atlanta. I love the Atlanta Falcons. I love the Atlanta Hawks. I love the Braves. This is great. You don't think, and he even said, you know what I mean? I met my girl here. And he was talking about how destiny brought him back to Atlanta and his career and stuff. You don't think that this guy tonight, man, guys, look, what, he's 25 years old, that guy? 24, 25? I think he's 24? You don't think that guy thought tonight, oh, my God, man, what a party it's going to be tonight. All my buddies here that I grew up with, man, I'm going to have a big party. We're going to win the World Series. I'm going to go out to this club, or I'm going here. I've rented this place out already. You know what I'm saying? These guys have all rented party play. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know, like, it gets on your mind. If you're a player on the Houston Astros tonight, how many people on the Astros families were there tonight? Like, probably pretty much all of them, except ones that aren't in the country type thing. You know what I mean? That, you know, didn't come or didn't have, you know, pandemic visa, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Everybody. Your parents are there. Your wife is there. Her family is there. It's like the night of nights. Like, you're about to win the World Series. And they are going to be there because it's like giving birth to a baby. It's like, well, it might not happen tonight, but now everyone goes along around now to Houston. So the emotions, it's just, you know what I mean? The emotions sort of get carried away. We've all been there where, you know, something in life we've thought. I remember when I was a kid, actually. I remember when I was a kid, there was this sort of like bully dude in school. And he was older than me. And these teenagers used to always attack me and like whatever. And one day I just got tired of it, right? And I was like 10 years old or something, 11 years old. And I literally just started beating the crap out of the kid. Like, I just turned around. I started smashing his head into the concrete and stuff. I started, like, and I remember, like, the whole school. I was like, oh, my God, he's killing him. And I remember, I swear to God, I remember thinking, oh, my God, I'm killing him. And I looked over at this hot chick, and she was, like, looking over. And the next thing I know, I got knocked out. True story. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That son of a bitch, no Yankee is ever coming to Houston.
Not as long as you bastards are running things.
Now speak up, George! I can't hear you! You tell that son of a bitch, no Yankee is ever coming to Houston. Not as long as you bastards are running things. George!
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morency. We're throwing it down here. And Suter Lisa liked my story earlier when I was about a kid. Look at a girl. And I got knocked out. But another time, right out of like a sitcom, I actually did this. I was on a skateboard. And I was going down this hill. And I saw this girl. And I said, oh, my God. And I looked. And I literally crashed into a parking meter. Like hard too, like bam, like she saw it and stuff, and she came over to me and everything. And anyways, I won't go on, but it's a true story. Like right out of like just like total like idiot type thing, like turn your head right out of Three's Company. That's the problem. We got Jason B. Tackle, but that's the problem. I grew up watching Three's Company, right? Jack Tripper was always like crashing into things because, you know, there were hot chicks everywhere. All right, we make connection with Jason. How you doing, Jason?
I'm good. So crashing into the meter worked if she came and talked to you.
Yeah, it did, actually. It
did. Yeah. There you go. Crashing into the meter trick worked.
Yeah, I know. I don't advise people to do it. It was pretty painful. So listen, Jason, I asked you, and I introduced you before, but Jason won three championships, eight ball with Alex Anthopoulos and the Blue Jays, the farm system. So when you were the night of the game, and I brought this up a couple of minutes ago, and I said, just off the top of my head, Jason, because I was talking about from the fans' perspective, from last night and the anticipation, you're up 4-0 tonight, and if you're a fan, your mind starts wandering. Oh, my God, what am I going to do after the game? What bar am I going to? Am I going to go on the street? Am I going to go to a bar? You know what I mean? Your mind starts to drift, and I don't care if you're a player or not, you have to be very hard and not to fall for it, right? Even if you're a player. And I brought it up, Jason, earlier. I said, I noticed after every game against the Dodgers and stuff, the Braves never really smiled much. Snicker never smiles. They're all business all the time. Last night, it was close to acting like they won. It was the first time I was like, wow, they just sort of let their guard down a little bit here. Like, they lost that steely sort of, exterior that they have around them a little bit. And so I want to ask you, and I brought up the fact that, Jason, you know this. Everyone's family is there. If you were on the Braves tonight, you're Swanson. You're from Atlanta. How many friends did you have there? Your girlfriend is there. Her family is there. Their friends. You've got a party planned after. Listen, I don't want to jinx it, honey, but if we win, we're going to this hotel. This is where the team, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Don't tell me that, like, it doesn't sort of get in guys' heads a little bit and they're not 1,000,000% focused on the task at hand. And we've seen time and time and time again, Jason, teams don't win the championship at home, bro. We were just riffing off the top of my head a minute ago without factually looking this stuff up, and I can only come up with a Tampa Bay Lightning beating the Canadians this year. Nationals won on the road in 19. Don't count the Dodgers stuff in a neutral field last year. Year before that, it was road. It's always road, bro. It's road teams. The NBA, Milwaukee won on the road. The Raptors won on the road 2 years ago, like throw out the bubble year. Talk to me about that, Jason. Even in A-ball, were the players getting giddy the night that you knew you could win a championship?
We had a top-round Blue Jays draft pick who was actually from the Vancouver area, and we didn't want him to show up. Justin Atkinson, great guy. He was from Surrey. We didn't want him because it wasn't good for him. He needs to be able to get away from his family and friends so that he can focus in on the game. Players won't tell you. Atkinson's actually a great player, but players won't tell you, but they don't like two things. One, they don't necessarily like the pressure of being at home all the time, and they don't like being in their hometown. It's very stressful because you have everybody asking you. You have everybody, hey, wink, wink, I'm not going to say anything, but where are you going to be after the game or that stuff? Like you just said, jinxing things. And that could go a long way into, you know, getting out of a player's rhythm. And I think that when you're talking about a player's rhythm, they want to be able to control as much of the outside world as they can control. And being at home, you just can't. It's that simple.
You know, and the champagne's on ice, right? Like,
yeah, listen, I want to touch upon a point you just made. The last team to win a World Series at home was the Red Sox in 2013. That includes
what? What? You're telling me? So I just came up with this, and I was thinking off the top of my head, 2013 in baseball.
Listen, 2014, Giants won Game 7 in Kansas City. 2016, Cubs won Game 7 in Cleveland. 2017, we don't have to go over what happened in Dodger Stadium. In 2019, the Nationals won in Houston. Like, there's something to be said for that. That includes baseball, which has a massive structural advantage to the home team, a.k.a. last licks. They bat last. That's a massive, massive, massive advantage. And I think it plays to the home team. There's so many things that can happen. They go at home. They sleep in their own bed. They're not kind of focused on things. Whereas on the road, you can control. You are with your team. It is you against the world, and there is a little bit more of that edge.
Well, winning a championship, too. Can you imagine being an Atlanta Brave in Atlanta knowing you're going to the park today for a championship, right? Like, that's why also, guys, a lot of teams, and as you know, Jason, they don't all do it now, right? Different organizations are different. I don't know. Maybe you do if the Braves. Are the Braves sleeping at home or in a hotel? Because I would be a hotel guy. I would be a hotel guy even now. What would if you were GM, and you were GM, but if you were GM of the Braves, would you prefer guys are at home? Or would you prefer that the team is in a local hotel together somewhere? Because I would choose the hotel.
For baseball, because they would be at home for 3 or 4 nights, I think
that's
they would want to be
home
in your own bed. Now, if it was football, like I know Sean Payton has the Saints stay at
They check all into a hotel Friday night, man. Yeah.
Right. Jimmy Johnson, who's famous for sort of his speeches in Miami, would say that, you know, one of the reasons why we used to do that with the Hurricanes is we used to want to keep an eye on them also. If you want to make you're talking about younger guys, but you want to, you know, if you can control what they're eating for dinner, you can control what movie they're watching, you can control these different things, you know where they are, you don't have to worry about any, you know, shenanigans or anything. It makes it a lot, a bigger difference. Now, if you were talking about Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, where it's 2-2, 1-1, 1-1, if I were a home team, I would stay at a hotel. If, let's say, Bruins Canucks 2011, if I was the Bruins, I would want to stay at a hotel the night before.
I know the Montreal Canadiens stay in a hotel. I know that the Habs did, like last year. They weren't going home. They all stayed in a hotel after. They stayed at the car in a hotel together or whatever. I think they, you know, in the townships or whatever, they had sort of like a thing together.
Yeah.
That's a new thing, too. Teams will sort of have retreats, right? They'll book a place sort of outside the city or whatnot, and that'll sort of be the headquarters. But it's a good point. I just find it, but all that being stated, well, I'm not saying any of this meaning that, oh, Houston's going to lose, but I got to tell you, this thing's going seven, isn't it now? Like, that's the way I feel about this. And if you're Houston, you've survived. You survived the stupid tomahawk chop and all the fans and all that crap. You're going back home, and, oh, yeah, you get the DH back, which I'm sure they're very happy about.
You also survived giving up the first four runs in the first inning, where it should have been a blowout. This really reminds me of the ALCS when the Astros had a very bad game two and game three. They fell behind early, but then the bullpen shut the door and they only allowed one run in the last 26 innings. And if you look today, after the third inning, the Astros didn't allow anything. The bullpen had six and a third shutout innings, and they were able to rest up some of their bigger arms like Presley, and he's probably going to go two innings. They were talking about it during the broadcast. But now they have a day off, and people are going to be rested. They're looking at Max Fried. Max Fried, after his first two strong playoff starts versus Milwaukee in game one against the Dodgers, he's given up 11 earned runs and 9.2 innings pitched. He is not the Max Fried sure thing that we're used to. He's up against Jose Urquidy. You talk about, you know, the Braves are a little bit on tilt right now. And Max Fried going up there, having not had a good two starts, including in Houston in game two, that bodes very well for Houston, especially because their hitters are starting to hit a little bit right now.
Oh, Correa, right? Coming alive. Bregman coming alive tonight. That's dangerous if Bregman's hot again.
Yuli Gurriel, three hits. Tucker, two runs. Altuve, two runs. Correa, three hits. That's not very good for the Braves because they had shut them down. Everybody was hitting poorly, and Martin Maldonado, of all people, gave it, this is a 212 career hitter, a huge walk with the bases loaded. Then he gets a two-out RBI to get a big, you know, couple the big insurance run.
Hey, how about Zach Greinke, bro? Pinch hitter.
Yeah. You're going to see it again. You're going to see it again.
He gets the hit. That's amazing.
He's a better hitter than he's a better hitter than the back end of their bench.
Even Freeman was like, smiled at him and said, of course, right? He probably said, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Greinke was like grinning at him. Greinke doesn't talk a lot. Like, so Freeman must have said something to him because Greinke started laughing. And yeah, it's just crazy, man. So how about this? And how about, I love how like these things always come together, Jason. So only three teams in World Series history have overcome a four-run deficit in an elimination game. The last time it happened, 2002, Angels game six against Dusty Baker and the Giants, man.
Yikes.
Wow. Comes full circle for Dusty, huh?
Dusty, he seems, there's like one degree of separation, I feel, for everything in baseball.
You're right. He is the baseball Kevin Bacon.
But like he played next
to Hank Aaron. Yeah, he was on deck when Hank Aaron hit the home run. He was part of the high five invention with another dude on the Dodgers. They invented the high five. What
was
else?
He not on the Dodgers when they won the 1981 playoff game against the Expos?
Yes, he was. He didn't. You know what? He didn't have a good playoffs that year. He was a National League Championship MVP, actually. National League Series in 77. Yeah, in 77. 81, he won the World Series with the Dodgers, but I think he only hit like 212 in the playoffs. Not taking a shot at him. I'm just saying, like, he didn't have the best playoffs that year.
He really has.
But hang in here, Jason. We're on his side. Let's bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
This lady says I'm an artist.
You? An artist?
Your husband's work is what we call outsider art. It could be by a mental patient or a hillbilly or a chimpanzee.
Well, this is my band, Jason. I don't know if you know. This is our last record. Well,
here? Oh, this is your band.
Yeah. Sounds like Slytherin. We were supposed to go to the studio in like 3 weeks, but like all bands, we've had a setback. All right, I'm Morency. We're kicking with Jason B. Tackafin. That's a little homicide. I appreciate the kind words. People in the chat were asking about the music in the background. Yes, it is our band. We figure if we're going to play music, we might as well play our own music on the show, right? And another thing is, we don't have the copyright rights to anything, essentially. So I'm not going to sue myself. Unless someone in my band sues me, I shouldn't have any problems. And whatever, I'll give them the 2 cents copyright fee. So Jason B. Tackett with us. So Jason, I don't know if you bet on this game tonight. So I bet, and remember, me and Jason were speaking to each other earlier in the day briefly. And I said, I don't know, bro, I'm taking Houston. Because I don't know how they're going to win, but somehow. I said, I'm going down with the ship here, I'm taking Houston. And you said, yeah, they're going to find a way. You agreed. So, you know, we jump on Houston. So I was thinking, all right, Houston comes out hot, and then maybe they blow it as the game goes on. So I split my bet in two. I take Houston first 5 innings, pick them, and I take them in the game, pick them, Jason. And it's four freaking, it's like the opposite. Like, long story short, people that bet Houston for the first 5 innings, like, dear God, like, what a win to get. And if you bet the first 5 innings on the Braves at a pick'em, and you thought, oh, my God, the Braves are only a pick'em in the first five, and you were up 4-0. So you're up 4-0. Then the Astros tie, it's 4-2. Then they make it 4-4. And then, of course, right on cue, Atlanta do what they've done all postseason. They take the lead again. Home run, boom, 5-4. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is just not meant to be. And then somehow they put up a bunch of runs in the fifth. It's amazing, Jason. Can you believe that Houston actually covered the first 5 innings? Unreal.
It is unreal. I actually think the Astros could have had a lot more runs. The top of the third, they had 2 on, 2 out. Bregman came up, nothing. Yordan Alvarez, second and third, nobody out. First pitch, hack, fly ball, no run scored. You know, they should have been able to score a lot more runs if they have more situational hitting. Their situational hitting only kicked in the fifth inning and beyond. And that's going to be very dangerous for Atlanta because they had those bats were really quiet. And now that they're awake and even guys like Maldonado are kicking in, that's going to be very difficult, especially as the Astros go home. Now, you can say Astros aren't very good at home, especially in the World Series, but yep, that is a very small ballpark, and they know that ballpark, and their fans are going to be absolutely juiced for that game.
All right, so we have updated odds right now, and they literally just moved as I was looking at them. And they moved in a direction that I'm surprised they moved in, because I tell you what, the Atlanta Braves were just minus 220 to win the series, and it just moved to minus 240, and the Houston Astros are plus 200. Now, I would say, Jason, that, wow, I think there's value with the Houston Astros. And I would say I do. But the problem is here, this is where I wasn't good in high school, but I do understand gambling. So put it this way, Jason, this game is a pick 'em, right? The game itself here, whatever, is basically a pick 'em. The Houston Astros are minus 118. Like, what I'm getting at is, yeah, you could. It seems attractive, the plus 200, but if you just bet on the Astros at two games in a row, you would make more money, technically, kind of. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, a two-team parlay is plus 270. You know what I'm saying? At a pick'em?
Right.
Minus 110, you're getting plus 200 for two games. Like, if you just bet the game and then rolled it over, you'd make a little bit more money. That's my point.
Right. Or you bet the series, and then you take the Braves in game seven, and maybe you could sneak in.
You could do that. You're right. Yeah, if you want it, if you put a big enough unit size. So what do you think about this now? It feels to me like we're going seven.
We're going seven also. You know, Max Fried, again, wasn't very good in Houston in game two. And he's given up 11 earned runs and 9.2 innings in his last two starts. And the anarchy of the bullpen game is kind of over, which I kind of liked the fun of it. It was kind of neat where they were announcing their starting pitchers the day of the game. I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, like, no one had ever heard of the game 4 or 5 starter.
Yeah, but it's fair now that it's like, all right, guys, you got a day off to reset, and we're going at it again. I like that it's a little regroup session here. And Anderson will be good to go for game seven, right, if it happened.
All the starters are going to be rested properly for the championship rounds. Fried and Urquidy started game two. They'll be there for game six. Ian Anderson and presumably Luis Garcia will be starting for game seven. That is also pretty good. You want tried and tested starters and real starters in there for those big you know, for those big games, unless you had a Bumgarner situation where you knew that he pitched game five and you know it was coming out of the bullpen in game seven. We don't have something like that here.
The Braves are going to choke, man. I just feel it. Like, I feel their pain,
they
bro.
They have loser DNA. Right? Like they have.
They just do. The 3-1 series lead. Remember that game five a couple of years ago when they were down 14-0 in the first inning, bro?
Yeah.
Or 11-0. Remember that one against the Cardinals? Whatever it was bad. It was like 13-1, literally, like after two innings.
Yeah. You know, I think they're probably going to have a lot of their leadership team talk on the plane tonight to keep everyone's heads straight because they did have a chance to win, and they're going to hear all day tomorrow about how this is the same old Braves team and how the Braves, you know, are good at winning, losing World Series. You're going to cite 1996 and, you know, Atlanta when they won the first two in New York and then they lost the next three in Atlanta.
The torture is real, bro. Look at the Georgia Bulldogs and their pain. The Atlanta Hawks have one. And how about this, Jason, just for the cruel numbers ironic twist that only happens in, like, I don't know, man. Numbers in life are weird, but how about this? So the Atlanta Falcons, of course, blew the 28-3 lead, right? And the Patriots are such jerks, they put it on the ring even, 28-3 or whatever. So 28-3. That game that the Atlanta Braves lost, like that the game five, the playoff game against the St. Louis Cardinals when they gave up like literally 11 runs in the first inning.
Yeah.
That was 2 years, 8 months, and 3 days to the day that they blew the Super Bowl. Can't make that stuff up.
Yeah, I love
that.
That's really funny. No, Atlanta, look, the city is kind of cursed. And you know, listen, the city of Boston was cursed for a long time, too. Right? Like we saw it like with the Joe Thornton, Rick Pitino, Bill Parcells era.
Yeah, right? But they like, Boston, different teams won. Like the Celtics won, right? The Red Sox were cursed.
Right.
Like Atlanta, what's the championships in Atlanta? Like the MLS team has won. Since the Atlanta Braves won. Who's that?
WNBA team just won?
No, that was the Chicago Sky.
Right, but they were in it. So, I mean, look, the... In Atlanta, I mean, the Braves won in 95, and that's really it.
Yeah, right? They've been tortured.
I think Georgia Tech got a split national championship in 1990 with Washington.
That's a good point. You know? I know the Atlanta
Bobby
Hawks.
Right? The Bobby Atlanta Hawks before you went to the Chargers.
Great call, Jason. Dropping Georgia Tech winning a championship.
See,
you're telling me. So, in other words, wow. The Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets have won a national title more recently than the Georgia Bulldogs have.
Wow.
And they, right. Jason's dropping some, like, football college. I'm like, well, I'm thinking about it.
I can't name you one player on that, Georgia. All I know is the coach, Bobby Ross. Like, I can't even name you one player on that team.
Oh, God.
I don't even think Georgia Tech counts as Atlanta. But anyways.
No, they're in Atlanta. Georgia Bulldogs are the ones that are in Athens. Georgia Tech's actually in Atlanta. So that is a championship for Atlanta. Good call. God, their quarterback was Kenny something. What the hell? Like, it's one of those deals. As soon as I see their names, I'll be like, oh, my God, yeah. That was a different era. You're right. Like, remember that was when the Colorado Buffaloes were good, Nebraska,
yeah.
Michigan.
Rocket Ishmael had a punt return.
Notre Dame.
Back because of a block in the Orange Bowl.
Yes, against Colorado. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I was at the Cajo Spore. I think like Patrick Waugh might have
which
been
one?
There.
Which one?
On Guy Street. Patrick Waugh used to go there all the time too.
Oh yeah.
Patrick Waugh used to bet on Mizzou and stuff. So all right, so let me no, we're not bashing Atlanta. Someone says, "Oh, you're Atlanta bashing." We're not bashing Atlanta. We're bringing up factual stuff that people in Atlanta are tuning in are totally aware of. Kyle, you don't think our boy Kyle in Atlanta, he's a good friend of ours. We met him through the show and stuff. Great guy. He sent me a gif of him, like, you know, with a gun. Not him with a gun, but like a movie. You know what I mean? He said, "How I feel now." Like, dude, I'm not, like, we're not making anything up. People in Atlanta know that they're cursed. Like, it's like me talking about Buffalo. You don't think we know?
Yeah. You have to identify that you're cursed also. And I'm dead serious with that. Like, you have to identify that, like, it takes a long time to get the stench of losing off a franchise and a long time to get the stench of losing off a city. And I'm dead serious, by the way. Like, this would go a long way for the
look at Toronto.
For the city of Atlanta. Exactly.
But they didn't withstand the Blue Jays.
Boston,
they didn't win since the 90s.
Losing teams until they didn't. And that's when, you know, the Patriots' first, you know, three championship, no one really cared about them still. Right?
Yeah, like, but they're annoying. So that's not a feel-good story.
Yeah.
It's like that dumb kid, that annoying kid that was like, oh, 12 years old and it's my ninth championship parade or whatever. Right. How's that going? Right. Oh, the Patriots. Patriots won today again. All right, so this World Series for the MVP, bro, has been all over the place. Yep. Like, I don't know. Like, it's one of these weird. So this is the updated odds now, Jason. Soler, 5-1. Adam Duvall, +650. Freddie Freeman, +850. Altuve, 9-1. Brantley, 9-1. Austin Riley, 9-1. Travis d'Arnaud, 10-1. Kyle Tucker, 18-1. Wow. Tucker might have an impact going back home. Tucker, 18-1. Eddie Rosario, 19-1. Carlos Correa, who suddenly got hot at 20-1. Ian Anderson, 34-1. Gurriel, 36-1. What do you think of the MVP odds? And you, do you give credit to Dusty Baker? How much of an impact did he have that he shuffled around the batting order tonight?
Yeah, credit to Dusty Baker. I mean, you really wouldn't see that happening where Alex Bregman, two-time top five MVP finisher, moves down to the seventh spot. Remember all the anarchy when Joe Torre moved Alex Rodriguez down to like eighth in 2007 when he was struggling? Well, this at least worked. And I think they're going to keep it the same way. You know what? Good for Bregman that he was able to sort of step up today and he didn't pout and he actually showed up. He had a pretty good game. For me, those numbers that you just mentioned, I like Freeman at +825 because he's going to get the good guy vote if the Braves do win. And Correa, I think it was a 20-1 you said. If they're going to win, it's going to be because Carlos Correa Carlos Correa is the guy and he's going to sort of lead them there. He also wasn't really a part of the cheating scandal. At the very least, he got off the hook. So nobody will feel super guilty about voting him in.
What about Ian Anderson if it goes seven games and he pitches like another five innings of shutout, no-hit baseball?
Yeah, I don't think so because it'll be embarrassing to have a guy who started.
That he pitched nine innings in the series and they make any MVP?
We've talked about this before. Everyone's like, Walker Buehler's the new Kurt Schilling. I'm like, okay, Walker Buehler had five starts in 25 innings. No. Like, let's all relax here, guys, right? Like he's a very 21st century pitcher.
That's the thing. Nowadays, these pitchers, and not to take a shot at them because it's the way the game is managed, that, though, you're right, they get a medal for pitching three or four innings on 3 days rest. And the old guys, you might not like Kurt Schilling's politics, but this son of a gun was giving you nine innings on 3 days rest, right? Like, you know what I mean?
No, Kurt Schilling is a Hall of Famer on the field. He has ruined his candidacy off the field, but he is a sure ballot Hall of Famer on the field.
All right, hang in here, Jason. We'll get you out on the other side. We just got a quick break. So think about your final final analysis because next time we speak. Oh, no, maybe if it goes seven, let's see. Maybe we need to do a TV hit or something. We'll wrap up on the other side with Jason. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can't make this up, man. We were just talking about I hate October, and I'm counting down the hours till the month is done. I just got up during a commercial break briefly, and as I got up, like a second later, the NBA basketball behind my head just rolled off and like would have landed right on my head live on the air. Now, I wouldn't have been injured or anything like that, but it would have been awkward. It would have scared the hell out of me. So I look over. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, I said earlier, oh, I'm so happy the month is over. No, it's not over yet. It ain't over yet. So for the record, Sean Jones. That's right. Great call by Reed. Sean Jones. And you know, the 1990 Georgia Tech team, there's only a couple of dudes that even have a Wikipedia page. Hell, I have a Wikipedia page. I remember Ken Swilling. He was the free safety. I do remember Sean Jones, good quarterback. William Bell was the running back. But, nondescript. It's almost disappointing, Jace, because they say, oh, if you win a championship, people will remember you forever. It's like, not really.
They may be doing a lot of car shows, locally.
Great call by you, though. Man, Georgia Tech. Like, wow.
College football. I got the fastball going from about 1988 until about 2007. College football was one of my top sports. I used to drive down to Montreal to go to Syracuse. Used to follow the Hurricanes. So I used to drive down to Syracuse, Rutgers, Boston College, Temple, all the sort of the Northeast schools. It was so close.
Oh, yeah, yeah, great times.
Football program, and yeah, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you know, you remember, may he rest in peace. He was a good friend of mine, football coach, Earl De La Perelle of Some Youth. Some Youth. And, you know, Earl used to have a big thing, an annual thing, man. He'd go down to Syracuse every year. And, you know, like you said, pretty close to you. All right, so let's, we've got 30 seconds, Jason, so let me ask you. I think this thing's going 7. I say Houston win the World Series. What's your prediction on the way out here?
I'm going to say Braves in 7.
Braves, all right, so we agree 7. All right, so listen, I'll give you a call. I'll send you a text. Maybe we can say if it goes 7, let's try to set something up for Tuesday night. We're on until 9 o'clock, so we can do the first hour or something, a little in-game action as the series starts here. But I'll send you a message. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, bro.
Okay, thanks. Have a good night.
There's Jason B. Tackerton with us. Quickest 180 minutes of Sports Talk Radio. Level 2, we have a panel coming up. Let's talk football, NFL football, and college football on the other side. Bring it.